That was another great one. Did I just become loud? Whoa. Was another great song, which would have worked in perfectly. But I put this lesson together using some information that I'm sure that a lot of you have heard before, but I don't think it hurts to go over things a few times. And so we'll be looking at that this morning. It is well with my soul. It is my favorite song, one that when I leave this world, I want it sung at my funeral. Such a beautiful, tremendous, powerful song. We'll talk about that a little bit this morning. But first off, Kyle says I just push one button. There. I pushed the wrong button, that's all. It is well. Colossians, the third chapter in your Bibles, verses 16 and 17, tells us to let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, we always use this passage as a way that say, well, this is where why we sing. Indeed, we can go through the book of Psalms and we can see countless songs that are there, many songs. It builds us up. I enjoy singing. I enjoy going with others to the villas and singing for the people there. They enjoy it because it's uplifting. It builds us up. But one thing that we can look at within this passage is that singing is a form of teaching. So this morning, we're going to teach with the song. We're going to look at it. We are going to look at some biblical passages, but I want to use the words of this song to help us to understand what God has in store for us. Beginning in our class or this lesson, we got to look at the background. I know we've discussed this before, the background of the song, but I found out some more facts that I find most interesting. The song was written in the 1870s by Horatio G. Spafford. He was an attorney in Chicago, Chicago lawyer, fairly wealthy. He lived right on basically Lake Michigan. His wife, Anna, were very well known during the 60s, 1860s. And he also traveled with a prominent preacher, D.L. Moody, which I don't know who he was, but he was a famous preacher. A wealthy, fair-to-do, wealthy attorney will say, okay. But we all know what's coming up in the story, and we're going to get there in just a second. But it began even earlier than the part that we all remember. In 1870, he had a four-year-old son, contracted scarlet fever and died. 4 years old, died of scarlet fever. So it was pretty hard on the family. The very next year, he had a bunch of holdings on Lake Michigan, the financial buildings. The Chicago fire came and destroyed them all. Every one of his investments. This was hard on his family, hard on him, and he realized the best thing to do was probably just to get away for a little while and go on a vacation. So he decided he was going to go over to England and help Moody out with his evangelistic works over there. And also it would be a time that his family could rest, his wife and his four children, his four daughters. We kind of know the story there. They decided to head over there, so he gets ready to go, and they are ready to get on the boat, and he got a call from Chicago saying he had another business deal that he needed to attend to. So he says, Anna, you go along without me. I'll be right there. I'll follow in just a few days, and we'll meet up in England. He went to take care of that. It was 9 days later he received the telegram, and all that the telegram said was saved alone. Found out that the ship that she was traveling in just west of Dover there, almost at her, at the place where they were to come in and land. As it was coming in, it struck another ship. It said in 12 minutes it was completely sunk. 12 minutes, not long. 12 minutes the ship sunk, went down approximately 3 miles, was the depth of the water there. In 12 minutes, 226 people perished. 226 perished. During the calamity and everything that was going on, she stood on the deck holding her infant child and her other three children. We see that when the wreck occurred, the waves washed them all overboard. She was still clinging to the child. They found her floating on one piece of wood. Just happened to go underneath her and kept her alive. In this one fell swoop, he lost everything. So it was a little bit later on that he went over to, that he was following through, and he came up on them. And when they came to the spot, the captain of the ship, when he was traveling over there, says, this is where the ship went down, about 3 miles down there. So he goes down below, and he writes this psalm. It is well with my soul. The text that he used for this, I'm sure we could find many, but it was found back in 1 Kings, or 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. We'll look at the text just for a minute to see what it was all about. All of this song fits together so perfectly and so beautifully. There was a prophet Elisha during this time, just took over from Elijah, not too far before that, but Elisha the prophet is in the area of Shunem, and there was a Shunammite woman. She would see him pass by every day, and this woman finally decided that this is definitely a man of God. She was familiar with it. So she told her husband, I'll tell you what, let's build us a little room on so he could stay with us on his travels. So they built a little room, and he stayed on him, and he did every time he'd come by, he'd stay with him and he'd eat with him. Became very fond of him. Finally, he asked her, he says, what can I do for you? She says, I'm fine. I've got everything I need. Husband was a little bit older, but he had no children. And he said, next year when I come back through this way, he says, you'll have a child. She goes, oh, no, that's, you know, don't make fun of me. You know, I don't need it. Next year, she had a child. We see this takes place many different times in the Bible with the women receiving children. She has this child. About 4 years later go by, and the child's outside in the field, goes up to his father, probably 4 or 5 years old. He says, my head. Takes him back, goes to his mother. That afternoon, the child died. Heat stroke, who knows what it was. But the child dies. So the woman decides to go visit Elisha. She goes to see Elisha, and this is all in 1 Kings, the 4th chapter. I'm not reading any of it, save us some time. But he goes to Elisha. Elisha sees her off in the distance coming, and he tells Gehazi, whatever his name is, his servant, he says, oh, here comes the Shunammite woman. Go ask her how things are going. Ask her how her husband is. Ask her how she is. Ask her how her son is. So he goes ahead and meets the woman and says, how is it with your husband? How is it with you? And how is it with your child? And you know what she says? It is well. This is where he got the inspiration for it. This woman had just lost her son. He had died. And she went to Elisha to see what he could do about it. Well, to make a long story short in this, we see that Elisha does go to her house, and just as Elijah did earlier with the woman at Zarephath and her dead son, he raised the son back to life. So the woman received her son again. But that was the text where Horatio Spafford thought about with the calamities of his life. So now I want to look at the song. That's the background for it. Let's look at it. It says, when peace like a river attends my way. When peace like a river attends my way. We understand in the book of Psalms, a passage, one of the Psalms in Psalms of third or fourth chapter, verse 8, he says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for you, Lord, only makes me dwell in safety. Most of our lives we see that we're at peace. Peace, like a river, attends us our way. We go through our life in a peaceful way, mostly, the best we possibly can, but things do arrive. And the next one is when sorrows like sea billows roll. Keep in mind, he's writing this after the death of his four children, well, his five children, the loss of basically all of his financial gain. When sorrows like sea billows roll, they're going to come up. Trials and tribulations are going to come within our lives. Peace is that calm river, but sorrows will come up. Whatever my lot, whatever it happens to be, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Whatever condition we're in, whatever lot we're experiencing in our lives, we need to recognize from God that it is well. Even in this horrible situation that he was in where he lost his entire family, it is well. And why? Why is that? It goes on. When Satan should buffet, though trials should come, Satan should buffet. Remember, Paul was buffeted by Satan. Remember, he had that problem that was giving him a thorn in the flesh. You remember why he got that thorn in his flesh? He got that so in his weakness, he could remain strong. God is the one that's going to strengthen him. God wouldn't take it away. Three times he prayed for that to leave him, but it wouldn't. My strength is sufficient for thee. Though trials should come. Well, when we think of trials, who do we think of? Job. Look what Job went through. Look what Job went through in his life. One quick passage out of the book of Job. He lost everything he had, all of his children, all of his property, just about everything. And in verse 10 or verse 20 of chapter 1, it said, Job arose, he rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In whatever our lot, whatever we're handed, keep in mind he's writing this with all of his stuff in his background. Whatever trial should come, let this blessed assurance control. Let this assurance that we have that Christ has regarded our helpless estate. What are we without God? Nothing. We are totally, totally helpless. He is our strength. He is our shield. He has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. That's what God has done for us. My sin, the next verse. My sin, oh, this blessed, glorious thought. He's thinking about it. My sin, oh, this blessed, glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, all of my sin, not just some of it, but all of it, is nailed to to the cross. When we sing this song, how can we not really get into it? You know, my sin has been nailed to, my sin as the whole has been nailed to the cross. I can bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, haste the day when this faith shall be sight. Hurry up with the day that you have promised. Bring it, as in 2 Peter tells us in 3:10. It's coming. That day is coming. Be prepared. O Lord, hurry that day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds are rolled back as a scroll. You can see the clouds rolling back on that last day. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. In Thessalonians, the first Thessalonians, where we get this passage in verse 16, it says, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We shall be caught up into the clouds and forever be with Him. It is well with our soul. The beauty of this song, the beauty of the thoughts behind it. When peace like a river attends my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. That's a thought that each and every one of us should have every day. When we look at this part in the last one, it says, hasten that day that the Lord shall come. Do you want to hurry that day so God can come back? So we can be with our Lord forever. What was going through Spafford's mind when he was writing this was not one of total despair, but one of eternal happiness, what he was looking forward to. That's what we all have to look forward to if we have done what God has wanted us to do. If we truly, indeed, love God the Father as He loved us, we will do what He says to do. We will realize that it is well with our soul, not just here upon this earth, but forever, eternally. We can look forward to that day of His coming again. For those that do not have salvation, that day is one of despair. If we're not in that right relationship with God when He comes again, we are in despair. We are not in joy. It is not well with our soul. If we're not living the right life, it is not well. This morning, we have the invitation that we always put forth. It's Christ's invitation. Simple, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what He says. That's what God says. That's what Christ says. Come unto Him. We need to give our lives to God. If we haven't done that, we do not want to hasten that day. We don't know how much time we have. We don't know how much time we have in this life, how long it will last, whether it be tomorrow, whether it be 20 years. I'm sure when Anna and the children were on that boat and heading over for a holiday in London, in England, they were looking forward to it with much delight. They never got it. As he was looking forward to this time, to being with his family and kind of building ourselves up a little bit from the loss of all that he had and the loss of their little son, I'm sure that he was looking forward to this time. He never had it. But yet he looks forward to the time when he can say, it is well with my soul. If you need the invitation, all we have to do, walk down the aisle. If you want the prayers of the congregation, come on down here. Say, I need help, I need strength. We'd be happy to pray with you. If you've not become a Christian, walk down the aisle. Say, I want to become a Christian. I want my sins washed away. I want it to be well with my soul. I want it to be well with my soul. I love this song. I can hardly sing it without tearing up half the time. Beautiful song, beautiful thoughts, beautiful concepts. Today, is it well with your soul? If it's not, you need to do something. You need to do something now. We don't have tomorrow promised. Life is like moose breath, here for a vapor and gone. If you're subject to the invitation, please come forward while we stand and sing the song.
Oh, heaven is written above the bright blue, where the tides are riven, living life.